Hallelujah. Well, take out your message notes. Let's look at our foundation scripture for this particular little series that we started at the first of the year. Let's look at Isaiah chapter 54, and let's look at verses 2 through 4. I'm going to read it from the New King James first and then from the Message Bible. The New King James says this: enlarge the place of your tent and let them stretch out the curtains of your dwellings. Do not spare. Lengthen your cords and strengthen your stakes. For you shall expand to the right and to the left, and your descendants will inherit the nations and make the desolate cities inhabited. Verse 4, do not fear, for you will not be ashamed, neither be disgraced, for you will not be put to shame. Now I want to point out something to you. This is not a suggestion. This is a commandment. In other words, it's instructions that God has given to each and every one of us. And what I want to do is we have taken this, I have taken this as your pastor and as a church body, we've taken this as the command to expand. Turn to the person beside you and say, God's given us the command to expand. Now that can take on all different shapes and sizes, but here's what I want to also encourage you to do, and that is to believe God to expand you this year. Well, that was about 7 or 8 people that got it. I want you to begin to believe God to expand you and your household this year. God wants to do greater in your life. He wants to do more in your life. And so let's look at the Message Bible in Isaiah 54. It says this: clear lots of ground for your tents. Make your tents large. Spread out. Think big. I didn't want to leave that out. Think big. Touch somebody and say, think big. He goes on to say, use plenty of rope. Drive the tent pegs deep. You're going to need lots of elbow room for your growing family. You're going to take over whole nations. You're going to resettle abandoned cities. Don't be afraid. You're not going to be embarrassed. Don't hold back. You're not going to come up short. Hallelujah. I love that. And so we have taken that on as the command to expand. And so we're believing that in 2019, for us as individual households, we're going to see this. And for us as a church family, we're going to see this. Let me just remind you what the Hebrew for the word enlarge means. And that is this: to expand, to widen, to go beyond, to make more room. You know, I said this before, it's difficult for God to bring increase into your life if you don't make room for it. Hallelujah. To increase capacity, to go further, to occupy new territories with no limits or boundaries. And so that's what we're doing as households and as a church family. We're going to go in places this year that we've never been before. We're going to do some things that we've never done before. And we're going to see God show up and do what He does in our lives, because these are His instructions. Amen? So here's the main thing that I want to leave with you this year. And I didn't make a slide for it, but it's this. There's no limit to how far you can go. There is no limit to how far in God you can go. God, most of the time, if not all the time, is waiting on us. And so we're not sitting around waiting on God. He's waiting on us. And so we need to follow Him, and we need to know that there are no limits in what He wants to do in our lives. So we began to build this, and we said, asked some questions. You know, what is it going to take for us as families and households and for us as a church to be able to accomplish this command to expand? Well, here's the answer right here. And if you're taking notes, write this down. You will have to develop an uncommon faith to believe and receive all that God has planned for you. It's going to take uncommon faith. There's going to be something different about you when you set out to believe God for all that He has in store for you. And I don't say this in a derogatory or critical way whatsoever, but there's going to be something about that that's going to make you uncommon with everybody else. Not better, just not common, because you're not going to be average. You're not going to be ordinary. There's going to be something about you that's going to set you apart. The dictionary defines uncommon as out of the ordinary or unusual. How many of you want to be unusual? I didn't say weird. I said unusual. All right? So we're going to do some things that are uncommon. So in order for us to have uncommon faith, we're going to have to do and take some uncommon steps. All right? Are you ready? You ready to do some things that maybe you haven't done exactly like this before, but you're ready to take some steps so that you can enter into what God has in store for you. Anybody ready for that? Yes. All right. So we began talking about the steps to uncommon faith. So I've been putting the blanks on there every week. I don't go into the detail. By the way, if you've missed any of this, all of this is on our website. All of the notes and the messages are there, so you can get caught up if you're feeling a little bit behind. And if you miss anything that we say today, it's all out there as well. So here's step number one. Step number one, if you're taking notes, write this down. Realize your faith potential. Realize your faith potential. You have a great faith potential. Now, I didn't, for these points that we've already covered, I didn't put necessarily all the scriptures, but we'll show them on the screen. They're not on your notes, but we'll show them on the screen. Look at Romans chapter 12 and verse 3. Paul said this, "For I say through the grace given unto me to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly or clearly, according as God has dealt to every man, every believer, the measure of faith." And so God has taken His own faith. He is a faith God. We know that He operates that way. I could show you in the scriptures, but we don't have time. But He operates this way. And so what I want you to see is God took some faith out of Himself. And when you received Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, when you were born again, He took His faith and put it down on the inside of you. Now, here's the good news about that. He gave all of us the same amount. He didn't give Dwayne up here a big 50-gallon drum portion full, and I got this much, all right? No, we all were dealt the same measure, and so our potential is all the same. The reason God did that, He's no respecter of persons, and He gives us all the same potential. Now, whether you arrive or whether you get to the point that God wants us to get to is totally up to you. God has given us all of the tools and everything necessary in order to grow in our faith. So we all have an unlimited faith capacity. The other thing that I want you to see, just a reminder, is this, and I just mentioned this, how far we go is totally up to us. So it's up to you how far you want to go with God. And I've never seen God necessarily take somebody who is really believing and trusting Him to do some great things in their lives. I've never seen Him have to say, "Well, you know, I'm not quite, can you just slow down? Slow your roll just a little bit." No, He's ready to go. He's ready to move with you, all right? Here's number two. Receive Jesus as the developer of your faith. Receive Jesus as the developer of your faith. Now we get that from Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 2. The scripture says, "Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith." Now that the word in the Greek there for finisher means a developer or somebody who completes something. And so it says, "Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God." So Jesus is the one that gave us that faith, and He's the one that will help us develop that faith. Now what He's waiting on is for you to step out and do some things by faith, and what He will do is begin to work with you at that point to strengthen your faith, to build it, to help it become stronger every single day. I use this analogy, and that is this. Jesus wants to be your personal faith trainer. All right? He wants to work with each and every one of us. And here's the good news. He knows each and every one of us. And if we will let Him, He'll design a personal training plan specifically for you. Because He knows how you think. He knows your personality. He knows what your needs are. He knows everything about your life. And so if we will let Him, He'll put a personal plan together for us to help develop our faith. So Jesus is the developer of our faith. Amen. Turn, turn to the person beside you, tap them real lightly and say, do you have a personal trainer? Tell them you need Jesus as your personal trainer. Some of you said, no, I ain't even been to the gym and I don't know how long. All right. Number three is this. Give the word first place and make it final authority. Give the word of God, God's word, his written word, give it first place in your life and make it your final authority. We looked at Proverbs chapter 4 and verses 20 through 22. I want to just hit that again. Solomon wrote in Proverbs and he said, my son, give attention to my words. See, the word requires your attention. You have to pay attention to the word of God. He says, incline your ear to my sayings. Do not let them depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart, for they are life to those who find them and health to all their flesh. So if you read all throughout the book of Proverbs, you'll find that God encourages us by the Holy Spirit through Solomon to constantly be giving attention to what he's saying to us. And so what I want you to see is that a lot of times we're good, and I don't mean this because I'm preaching to the choir, but we're good about doing this on Sunday mornings and maybe Wednesday nights, but we don't necessarily give it our full attention throughout the week. Somebody says, well, I have a life, Pastor. I have stuff that I have to do. I know that, and God knows that. But are you doing what you can throughout the week? Are you giving the word some attention throughout the week so that you can be constantly on top of what God's saying to you? Somebody might ask the question, and we said this last week, well, how then do I put the word first place? Well, here's what you do. Here's how to put the word first place. We must build our busy schedule around the word instead of trying to fit the word into our busy schedules. Now, here's what I mean by that. If you have a calendar on your phone, or you know, some of you might use paper or whatever, in your planning, make an appointment every day to spend time in the word. You know, I've heard it said, and you might have heard this before, even with going to the gym and physical fitness and that type of thing, if unless you make a planned appointment for it, you will talk yourself out of it. Something is going to come up, I promise you. All right? And so you got to do the same thing with God's word. Now somebody says, but what if I miss my appointment? It's okay. Just say, Lord, I'm going to, you know, because life happens. Stuff comes up. It does for me. All right? So what I do is I make sure if I can't, my time is in the morning. If I can't spend that time in the morning that I usually do, if something comes up, then I make time for it in the evening. It might mean that I watch a little less television. Hallelujah. All right? So, you know, you just juggle your schedule, but you make sure that it remains a priority. Somebody said, well, what does it mean for the word to be final authority in my life? We said the word needs to be first place and final authority. Well, here's the way you make it the final authority in your life is this. You don't make the word fit your lifestyle. You make your lifestyle fit the word. What do I mean by that? When we look at our lives and we look at the mirror, as James calls it, in the Word of God, and we see things that we need to change or do differently, well, I don't try and change the Word of God to fit my lifestyle because I don't like the change that God's wanting me to make. You know, they sit in the cafeteria. You don't get to pick and choose, skip the broccoli and go straight to the dessert end. Do they still have cafeterias? Is that, you know, because I grew up with Morrison's and all that. So, you know, I remember the cafeteria and then, of course, you know, at school or whatever. But what I'm saying to you is that there are going to be times when you have to look at the Word and see what the Word says. And and sometimes it might require a little uncomfortable, if you will, for you to make a change. All right? And so what you do is you decide, I am not going to try and make the Word fit my lifestyle. Whatever I see in the Word of God, I'm going to adjust my lifestyle to fit the Word. Amen. Amen. All right? So that's number three. Here is number four. So we said this last week. Number four is this. I build uncommon faith by continually feeding on God's Word. Consuming God's Word. doing everything that I can to feed on the Word of God. Now, what does that mean? That means that you take time. What, you know, listen, a lot of us spend a lot of time in the car going to work. Hallelujah. I'm spoiled, all right? I live 3 miles down the road. And I listen, I know this is crazy. I get upset if it takes me 15 minutes to get to work in the morning, all right? I know what some of you all endure. Some of you are in the car for 45 minutes to an hour to get to your job. Well, what are you doing during that time? You know, maybe turn off talk radio a little bit. Instead of listening to the talking heads talking about everything that's going on in the world, why don't you do something? I know a guy who's got a real good podcast out there you could listen to. His name, no, I ain't going to tell you. No, we put our messages out there, but, I'm not just talking about me in the church. I'm talking about there's so much material out there. There's so much content available that you could be feeding on all the time. Take advantage of that time. Don't waste that time. Look at what the Bible says in Matthew 4:4. Jesus, in responding to the devil during his period of temptation in the wilderness, he told the devil, he said, "Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God." Jesus said, surely, yeah, you need to eat natural food, but that is not going to provide total sustenance for you. You need what you eat in the natural, and you need to eat in the spiritual. I heard a preacher, you know, this is one of those old-time preacher sayings. I heard a preacher say one time, you know, we feed our body 3 warm meals a day, but we give our spirits 2 snacks a week. That's one of those things that makes you go, okay. All right, well, I could tell that just thrilled you, so we'll move on to point number 5. This is what we wrapped up with last week. Number 5 is this: spend time meditating in the Word. Now, meditation is a word that has gotten very twisted because of Eastern religion, and that has clouded our perception of what meditation is. But the Bible talks about meditation quite a bit. There's several verses in the Scripture that talk to us. There, you can see it in Joshua chapter 1 and verse 8. We'll read that, where God was giving instructions to Joshua and leading the people and the children of Israel. He told them this. He said, "This book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth, but you shall meditate." Let's go to that verse, guys. Joshua 1:8. There we go. "This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it." How long?
Day and night.
That sounds like pretty much as you can. All right. "That you may observe," or see, "that you may see to do according to all that is written in it." What God is saying to Joshua is, you need to be meditating in the Word. And I'm going to tell you what meditation is in just a second. But you need to be meditating in the Word so that you can see yourself doing it. Okay? Not just in the form of obedience. Let me give you a little context real quick. Think about this. Joshua was one of the original 12 spies that went into the children of Israel. Now, at this moment, he's 85 years old. He just got through wandering around in the wilderness with all them other people for 40 years. When he could have gone in 40 years ago, but they all believe something different. They believe the bad report. But Joshua had the good report, Joshua and Caleb. You remember that story from Numbers? And so what happened? Joshua went in. He and Caleb saw everything else that the other 10 spies saw. So what God is endeavoring to do is to make sure that the thoughts aren't taking place in his mind. Think about this. Don't you know his mind was going, well, you know, it's been 40 years since I saw those giants in the land. There might be more of them by now. They're probably full grown. You know, so all these thoughts are going through his mind. So he has an opportunity to see himself not being able to accomplish what God has called them to accomplish. But God tells him, he said, no, you need to spend time meditating in the Word so you can see yourself doing it. God is telling you that he is calling each and every one of us to go to a different level in 2019. And what I want you to see is God is saying to us, meditate in my Word so you can see yourself doing it. So you can see yourself experiencing it. And he says, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it, for then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have, say those last two words, good success. So God is interested in us prospering. He's interested in us having good success. But what he's saying is you're going to have to spend time in the Word meditating. Now, here's what meditation means. It means to simply think about it. Spend time thinking about the Word of God. Spend time going over it in your mind, thinking about it. And really, meditation is simply this. The literal Hebrew word means to mutter, to say it to yourself. You remember, muttering is what we used to do when we'd get in trouble and we'd say something under our breath, and your mom and them would say, "What did you say?" And you're like, "Nothing." Okay? It's the same, different environment, but different, same thing. You're just going over it in your mind, and then sometimes it helps to just say it to yourself. And don't necessarily do it where there's a bunch of people around, because they'll think you're kind of a little off because you're talking to yourself and having conversations with yourself and stuff. But what I'm saying to you is, you spend time thinking about it. You just spend, and listen, I'm not talking about chapter upon chapter upon chapter. I'm saying take one verse. You know, 3 John 2, "Beloved, I wish above all things that you may prosper and be in health as your soul prospers." You know, what does that mean? Just start going over that in your mind. What does that mean? You know, where God tells us to walk in love with other people. See yourself forgiving and walking in love. And just begin to imagine yourself doing what the Bible says. That's what meditation is. Now, the Scripture says this in Isaiah 26:3. It says that God, you will keep in perfect peace all who trust you and all whose thoughts are fixed on you. See, a lot of times we experience agitation and anxiety in our lives because our thoughts aren't fixed on Him. We allow other stuff to come in and begin to affect what we think about. Isaiah said that if you'll spend time thinking about Him, he said perfect peace will be something that you experience. Aren't you glad because of that? Amen. Now, here's a truth that I want to give to you to make sure that you have, and that is this, that the word you meditate on will become the reality you desire. The word that you think about, the word that you mutter to yourself, the word that you meditate on will eventually become the reality that you desire. So you need to spend time meditating. Now, last week I gave you some steps on how to meditate in the Word. Please refer to last week's notes and message for that, all right? Now, let's move on. Number 6 is this. You need to act on the Word of God. All of the preceding things are great, but if you stop at number 5 and don't act on the Word's not going to work for you. It's not going to produce in your life and do what God wants it to do. Let's look at James chapter 1, and let's read verses 22 through 25 in the New Living Translation. It says this, "But don't just listen to God's word. You must do what it says. Otherwise, you're only fooling yourselves. If you listen to the word and don't obey, it's like glancing at your face in a mirror. You see yourself, you walk away, and you forget what you look like. But if you look carefully into the perfect law that sets you free," talking about the word of God, "and if you do what it says and don't forget what you heard, then God will bless you for doing it." One translation says this, "If you will make sure that you do the word that you hear, you will be blessed in all that you do." One translation says that. So what I want you to see is that as we hear the word of God, now listen, I did this several years ago, and I want to just describe this because I don't want you to fall into the same trap, is that a lot of times when you see somebody and they're clamoring for new revelation all the time, You know, there's got to be something new. So let me find out what Brother Doodad is saying, and because there might be some new revelation that's out there. I got news for you. There is no new revelation. It's revelation of the same truth that's in the Word. Okay? Now, there might be a fresh revelation to you, all right? But here's what I want you to do or to think about, and that is this. If you find, anybody ever found themselves in a dry place? You know, the old folks used to say, I'm having a wilderness experience. You know, you're out there with the tumbleweeds and the cactuses and all that kind of stuff, and you're having a wilderness experience. Can I tell you about 99% of the time what causes you to go into a wilderness experience? It's not because God doesn't love you. It's not because God isn't listening to you. It's not that God isn't with you. The Bible says He'll never leave you or forsake you. You want me to tell you what really causes it? It's because the last thing He said to you, you didn't do yet. And we find ourselves in a place where we're not doing the Word of God. And what happens is, okay, God never forsakes us. He never leaves us. But what happens is God, in what He wants to do in your life, stopped at that last thing He told you to do. Okay? So He's right here. You've moved on. I don't like that. So I'm going to go find me a new revelation. I'm going to go find something new because there's got to be something new that God is doing. And so I want to get into something new. And I've seen it over and over and over again that you see people that float around to all these different things that are going on. It's because they're looking for something new. And I promise you, it's because they left God standing right back here because they didn't do the last thing He told them to do. Now, and He ain't mad. He's not mad, but you're not going to find anything. The refreshing takes place when you go back to the place that God last met with you and gave you instructions, and you begin to do what He told you to do. It gets dry when we basically disobey and we don't want to do what He's told us to do. I know that's true with myself. I mean, I've experienced some dry places And you know, I'd be like, you know, and that, we get real spiritual. Oh, Father, teach me in this moment. Obviously, Lord, You're trying to teach. Yeah, He's trying to get you to go back to the last thing that He told you to do. And here's what has happened time and time again. When I go back and I do pick up the last thing, that's why it's important. You need to write some stuff down. When God's dealing with you, you need to write some stuff down. So I go back to the last thing He told me that I wrote down. And you know what? God's just waiting right there. And when I say, Lord, forgive me. I didn't do what You told me to do. You know what God does? He says, okay, well, let's go. And I'm going to do what You told me to do. He says, all right, let's go. And we pick up and we keep going exactly like we were going. All right? So we must learn to act on the Word. James 2:26 says this, for as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead. The Phillips translation says this, that faith without corresponding actions is dead. In other words, James is saying this, if I hear you, I'm going to put it in our context. If I want to not only hear you making your faith confessions, but I want to see your behavior line up with your faith confessions. Okay? So when we say certain things based on the Word of God, we need to do some corresponding actions to go with it. You know, let me give you a couple of examples. I didn't put this in your notes, but Psalm 107 verse 2 says this, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Okay? So what that scripture tells us is you need to say, I'm redeemed, even when you don't feel redeemed. Okay? Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. But I don't feel redeemed. I woke up this morning. I didn't feel too redeemed. You know, it doesn't say, let the redeemed of the Lord say so if you feel like it. Or if you woke up and everything's peachy. All right? No, you let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Here's another one for you. Joel chapter 3 and verse 10 says this, let the weak say, I am strong. Oh, but I'm so weak and tired. Oh, Jesus. If you don't do something, Lord, oh, I'm so weak and tired. You might be weak and tired. I'm not denying that. But sometimes there are going to be times when you need to put something else in your mouth and you need to act like what the Bible says is true and simply stand up like the Scripture says. I may feel weak. I may feel like every ounce of strength is gone from me. But the Bible says, let the weak say, I am strong. You know why? Because I'm not strong in myself. I am strong in the Lord. So let the weak say, I am strong. Turn to somebody and say, I am strong. Amen. All right. So we have to do. Let me show you something from Mark chapter 2. I'm not going to read the whole story for the sake of time, but do you remember the story? If you've been around church long enough, you've heard this, where Jesus was ministering in a home, and the Scripture says the house was packed. I mean, packed, no other room. And there were four friends that had this one guy who needed to get to Jesus to get healed. You remember he was paralyzed and he was laid on a cot. And you remember that the four friends were like, hey, don't worry about it. We're going to get you in there. And, you know, it took a lot of faith for that guy on the cot, too, because when you find out what they did is they carried him up on the roof, tore a hole through the roof, ripped all the shingles off, plywood, everything else. I'm kidding with that. But anyway, and can you imagine Jesus is sitting in the living room and all of a sudden sheetrock dust starts hitting him in the head. And he looks up and all of a sudden there's a hole there and there's this guy being lowered down right there in front of Jesus. Now, here's what I want you to see in that. Look at verse 5 of chapter 2. It says this, when Jesus, he didn't hear their faith, he saw their faith. There's going to be some things that you're going to need to do so that Jesus can see your faith. You need to act like the Bible is true and act as though it is. Look at this last blank. Write this down. Acting on the Word is simply this. Act as though the Bible is absolutely true. It is absolutely the truth. And if God's Word says it, then I'm going to apply it to my life and I'm going to act on it. Amen. Amen. All right, now here's number 7. Number 7 is this. You need to spend time praying in the Spirit. Praying in other tongues. If you haven't received the baptism in the Holy Spirit, we can help you with that after the service. But if you have, you need to spend time praying in other tongues. Look at this scripture from Jude chapter 1. In verse 20, well, actually, Jude is only one chapter, but verse 20 in Jude says this, but you, beloved, build yourselves up, founded on your most holy faith, and I love this, make progress and rise like an edifice higher and higher, praying in the Holy Spirit. Now, I'm going to say something to you, and I want you to hear me. I tell you what, let me read the next verse, and then I'll tell you my comment. 1 Corinthians 14:4 says this, he who speaks in an unknown tongue or tongue edifies himself, but he who prophesies edifies the church. Now here's what you're going to have to do. As I described to you, the Lord had instructed me for 2018 to set a certain amount of time each day to spend time praying in other tongues. Now, I'm going to tell you right up front, all right, because I would be remiss if I didn't. When I would start in the morning and I would do that, I didn't feel chills. I didn't feel honey running down the top of my head or the oil that flowed from Aaron's beard. I mean, there were times I didn't feel anything. And my mind is going 90 miles an hour. You know, we got about 3 loads of laundry we need to do. We need to go to Walmart today because there's some good stuff. And you did see that sale that's going on. And my mind is just going. All right? Now, here's what you're going to have to do. I'm just telling you this because here's what you're going to have to do. You're going to have to believe by faith that as you're doing this, I am edifying myself. I am building myself up. I don't feel very built up. It doesn't matter. I am built up. I am built up. Now, one definition of that word edify from the Greek means this, enlarging of a house, to augment, enhance, or improve. So what I have to believe is that I'm spending time praying in other tongues, that I am doing what part of what we looked at in Isaiah 54, and that is this: I'm expanding. My capacity to believe God is expanding. That's what Jude meant when he said, on your most holy faith, I'm expanding, I'm augmenting, I'm being enhanced, I'm being improved. Now here's what you need to understand. You might not feel it at the moment, but I promise you, based on the authority of God's word, it will show up at some point. What do I mean? Well, you're going to be in a situation where you get to help somebody, where you get to minister to somebody, and all of a sudden, because of the time that you've been setting apart, praying in other tongues, all of a sudden, you're able to hear the Spirit of God down on the inside of you give you clear instruction on what to say to help somebody. Or maybe, you know, the Lord will lay hands or minister to you to lay hands on somebody and pray for them because they're sick. You're going to find out that the power of God will be present because you have made yourself available to be built up. And so that's what that... The whole purpose of doing not only is fellowship with God, but it's also meant to build us up, to encourage us and help us in our faith. All right. So sometimes you hear people say, and this is true too, it means to charge your faith like a battery, like you're charging yourself up. And so whenever you sense that your faith is in a weakened condition, spend some time praying in the Spirit. All right. Are you getting anything out of this? All right, number eight, and the last one, number eight is this: continually give God praise. How often? How long? Continually. All right, look at Psalm 34, verse 1. Psalm 34, verse 1 says this: I will bless the Lord when I feel like it. I'll bless the Lord when everything's going great. I will bless the Lord when everything is good on my job. No, he said, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. Now, you know, I'm a student of the Bible, and the Old Testament being written in Hebrew and the New Testament being written in Greek, you know, I love to study the words. I love to get out my dictionaries and look and see what these words mean. And you know what I did is I got this verse and I looked at the word all in the Hebrew language, and then I went to the Greek concordance and I looked at it in the Greek. And you know what that word means in Hebrew and Greek? All. Air one of them. All the time. All right? It's the same. So what we have to do is we have got to learn, and I will say this, if you can get this one, it'll make all the other ones a whole lot easier, but this praise is the language of faith. Praise, that's free, that you can write that down, that won't cost you anything. Praise is the language of faith. What do I mean? It means that if you want to enlarge your faith, then cultivate a lifestyle of thanksgiving. Cultivate a lifestyle of praise. Cultivate, you know, praise and thanksgiving being an important part of your life. Begin to praise God. See, a lot of times where we fumble the ball, so to speak, is between the amen and when the answer to our prayer shows up. Anybody, you ever notice that sometimes there's a little time between amen and when the answer shows up? If you're here and you get your answer immediately, I mean, the moment you say amen to your prayer, would you please stick around? Because I would love to hear how you do that. And then number one, get you to pray for me. But anyway, I've noticed that there is some time that passes between the time I pray and I say amen and then when the answer shows up. What are you supposed to do between the amen and when the answer shows up? Just nothing? No. You're supposed to fill your mouth with praise. Praise for what? Praise for the answer. Praise that your prayer was heard. Praise that God is moving on your behalf. Well, I don't see anything happening, Pastor. Matter of fact, it looks like it's gotten a little worse. You know what? You just praised, but you praised the wrong thing. What you need to do is turn that around and begin to praise God. Father, I thank you in Jesus' name that you heard my prayer the moment that I said it. Father, I thank you that the answer is mine. I believe that I received the answer. Oh, God, I just thank you for it. I just praise you for it. I double dog somebody in here to get something that they're believing God for and begin on a daily basis to praise God like you already have it. Is there anybody in here, you're believing God for something? Yeah. All right. Here's what we're going to do. We already took up the offering. We already did everything we need to do. I double dog dare you to stand up on your feet right now and begin to praise God like you have lost your ever-loving mind and believe God for what He's promised to you. Oh, Father, we thank you. We praise you, Lord. We praise you, Lord. We praise you, Father. Oh, thank you, Lord. Come on, lift it up. Lift it up. Hallelujah. 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 Oh, I praise you, Father. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord, that we have the answer. Thank you, Father. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Lord. Now, can I say something to you? I'm going to say this in love. And I mean this in the sweetest, kindest way I can. Some of you got tired after about 15 seconds of that. I got news for you. There's coming a day when we are in heaven. You ain't going to be able to stop at 15 seconds. You're going to praise God 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. And so somebody said, but you know, you don't have to keep your hands up like this, but there might be something. You remember Jesus had to see their faith? It might require you to just maybe, for maybe a good 30 seconds or a minute, or maybe a little bit longer, just forget about everybody else that's around you and just begin to thank God and praise Him. Hallelujah. Let's do it. Father, we praise you. We praise you. Oh, hallelujah. 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 Praise you, Father. Praise you, Father. Praise you, Father. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord, for you are good and your mercy endures forever. Hallelujah. 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 Ah, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Oh, I praise you, Father. 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 Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Now let me share a scripture with you real quick. Let me tell you what's going on in the spirit while you do that, all right? Psalm 67, verses 5 through 7 says this, let the peoples praise you, O God. Let all the peoples praise you. Look at this. Then, everybody say then. Then the earth shall yield her increase. God, our own God, shall bless us. Here's what happens when you lift up praise. That maybe the changes that you're desiring to see come to pass, the harvest that you need to come to pass, what God is desiring to do in your life, you expedite that in your life when you spend time praising. Because it wasn't until the peoples praised that their harvest began to come forth. See, a lot of us aren't seeing what we desire to see in our lives because we're not spending any time praising God. Hallelujah. 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 Oh, Father, we thank you. We praise you today, Lord. Hallelujah. Oh, we love you, Father. We glorify your holy name. You are worthy, Lord. You are worthy, Lord. Hallelujah. Oh, I thank you, Jesus. I thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Oh, thank you, Father. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Lord. Oh, we praise you, Father. Hallelujah. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. We praise you, Lord. We love you. We love you, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Father, we praise you for that loved one that's going to be born again in 2019. We praise you for those family members coming into the kingdom. We praise you, Lord, that they're coming in this year. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. We thank you, Father. We worship you, Lord. Oh, we praise you, Father. Father God, we love you with all of our hearts, and we thank you that your word is true. And so, Father, we make the decision today on January the 13th of 2019 that this year, 2019, is going to be our year to expand. That, Father, we're going to expand to the left and to the right. And, Father, we're going to expand in our households. We're going to become everything that you want us to be. We're going to experience everything that you want us to experience. And Father, we believe you today and we thank you for it in advance, Lord. It might look like all hell is breaking loose right now, but Father, we're going to praise you anyway. We're going to lift up our voices anyway. It might look like nothing is changing, but we're going to praise you anyway. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah.